Do you have those special places in your life that really just bring back a memory? Maybe there was a time that there was a big decision that you had to make, and maybe you took that walk out by the pond or something, and along the way, that was where you solidified the decision that you were going to make. And then every time you go back to that particular spot, it reminds you of the decision that you made there. Now, those type things can happen whether good or bad. There's an old song that actually says the song remembers when. There are probably musical songs that you can remember in your life that remind you of certain places and times and things along the way. And I was just thinking about this in the context of remembering a place. There's some special places in my life where there were either major decisions that I made that every time I go back to those places, it's a reminder of the important decision that was made at that particular place. So today what we're actually going to do is we're going to look at a particular place that was special to Jacob. It was the place called Bethel, and we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Genesis chapter 35. So grab that Bible, come on back, we'll see you in just a minute as we go back to Bethel. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I trust and pray that everything has been going your way this week and that God's been blessing you in an abundance. A minute ago, I asked you the question about if there was some sort of a special place in your life that when you go there, it always reminds you of some special event or an occasion that took place. Many times, it's particularly couples will think about where they were proposed to or where a proposal took place, and it's just a very special place. Well, Jacob had one of those particular places in his life, and we want to go and take a look at what the Scripture is telling us about that special place in his life called Bethel. Look with me, if you would, Genesis chapter 35. And we're only going to deal with three verses today. So Genesis chapter 35, beginning with verse 1. It says, "Then God said to Jacob, arise, go to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you, purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way in which I have gone." May we pray together today. Father, as we come to you, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would truly descend upon us. Lord, may you anoint your word as you have promised that you would do, and may you speak to each and every heart today as we consider those spots in our lives, those Bethels in our lives. And Father, if we find that we're away from them, I pray that you would just lead us to return to Bethel just as we read about Jacob. Lord, I pray for these moments that you would use me as your messenger. May we truly lift you up that you might be exalted. And we pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at this particular passage, first of all, we got to try to think a little bit about what the situation with Jacob was. We know that there were times in Jacob's life when he had some troubles. You know, he was a son of Isaac, a patriarch of Israel, and he was deceived. Well, he actually deceived Esau and their father, according to Genesis chapters 25 through 27. And most of us, if we've grown up around church in any bit of time, we understand what took place between essentially Jacob and Esau. And then what's happening is, as that thing took place, he fled to Cana, and he did so that he could escape the wrath of his brother. And he came to this place over in Genesis chapter 28, a place called Bethel. Now, on Jacob's way to Cana, see, he wasn't on his way to Bethel. He was on his way essentially to Cana. But on his way to Cana, God met him along the way. Now, most of us have probably either sang the song or heard the story of Jacob's ladder. Okay, this is where all that began to take place, but that's another message for another day. But after that meeting there, Jacob named the place Bethel, which basically means the house of God. Now, that all sounds good, and that all sounds spiritual and whatnot. But today, I want us to think about a return to Bethel as we consider the passages that Jacob is dealing with, because there are many of us in our lives that need to go back to that place to remember what was going on, to remember what was taking place when we made some of the most critical and some of the best decisions that we ever made, particularly concerning following our Lord and Savior as the premise of who we are. Okay. Now, first of all, in the verse 1 of our text today, there is a call to Jacob to go back to Bethel. Now, you got to understand that this is a call from God. This wasn't a call from some kind of man. This wasn't that, you know, Jacob was just sitting there maybe reminiscing some of the old days. No, this was a call from God. Now, you know, God calls wanderers to return all the time. We have seen that throughout the Bible, particularly in the New Testament and in so many other places where when folks have wandered away from Him, God is calling them to, you know, to return. Yet He is calling each and every one of us back to a place of dedication. Now, remember what we said before. Jacob was the one who actually named this place Bethel. And remember what we said that it meant? It meant the house of God. So there was something special in his life that took place at that place called Bethel. It would be a place that as he would go back to, he would remember the joy of what took place when he named that particular place Bethel. And God is calling all of us back to those places. He's calling us back to the places of dedication. I know that every Christian I believe that I have ever had a chance to sit and talk with has said to me that at some point along the way in their spiritual journey, things were a lot better than they are at this particular moment. And what they need to do is to remember what it was to be like at the place called Bethel. Every one of us have that place. We all have those Bethels in our lives. And God is calling us back to Him. If we have walked away from them, if we have wandered away, He is calling us back to those places of dedication. That's where Jacob actually became the dedicated man that he was. And you and I can do the same thing. He calls us to return to Him. Now, you know what I'm talking about. If we have been wayward, and by the way, that's not up to me to tell you, and that's not up for you to deny. It's up to you to listen to the Holy Spirit in your life. What is the Holy Spirit prompting you to do right now? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you about your position? Have you left your Bethel? is your Bethel a place that you need to return? Is your dedication something that needs to return in your life? Now, yeah, it was very interesting that Jacob, when he was at Bethel the first time. Now, remember, I said that the first time that he was there and when he named it that was back in, is recorded in the book of Genesis chapter 28. And you might want to just make a side note of that. You can put Genesis chapter 28 verses 10 through 22. Once again, Genesis chapter 28 verses 10 through 22. This is the first time that Jacob is at Bethel, okay? He had gone through there, he had stopped to rest, okay? And he heard God speak to him. Yeah, heaven and earth were essentially joined at that particular point. And at that particular point, God's promises became very, very real to Jacob. God had promised him that he would be with him. And then what he did, Jacob in return made vows to God. Now think about that for a minute. Wouldn't that be a very special place? It was a very special place to Jacob. And you and I have those places as well. Have we ever been along life's journey and maybe life just seems to be crashing in on us, and then all of a sudden when you just sit down and you're like, I can't go anymore, I can't put one foot in front of the other, and in the stillness and the quietness of that moment, you heard God speak. Yeah, it maybe even caught you by surprise, but God spoke into your life at that particular point. You know, there was a clear path of communication between you and God, and you were hearing very clearly. Even though there was a lot of white noise and static in your life, you were hearing God very clearly, maybe even more clearly. Matter of fact, it might have been that you were hearing so clearly that was one of the things that was a big attention getter in your life at that point. And then in the midst of that, God either reiterated or made some promises to you that became real, maybe for the first time in your life. Maybe it was when God said, I'm going to handle this situation for you. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to get you through this. And one of the things that he told Jacob was this. He made him a promise that he would be with him. And folks, he makes you and I that same promise as well today. God is with us. No matter what we go through, no matter what is taking place, no matter what is going on, God is going to walk that journey with us. And at that particular place of Bethel, that first time, Jacob made some vows to God. He said, Lord, here are some things that I'm going to do. Maybe you've been in that situation. Maybe there were some times at your Bethel that you made some vows to God. Now, the majority of the time when I talk to people, and I'm sharing this one-on-one with them, they said, yep, you know, you're right about all of it. Yeah, I was at the end of my rope. I had to stop. God spoke. I heard him loudly. I heard him clearly. He reiterated the promises of his word to me, and I made some promises to him. Usually those promises will sound like, well, God, if you get me out of this, I will never miss church again. Or, Lord, if you do this, I'll be a Sunday school teacher, or I'll join the choir. Or we make all these promises to God, and yet we didn't keep them. I would say that, conservatively speaking, that 9 out of the 10 that I've talked with didn't keep the vows that they made to God. Yet God did get them through it. He was faithful on his part, and yet we didn't keep those vows to him. Now here's what's going on today. This is what was happening with Jacob in that day, and this is what's going on with you and I today. God is calling us back to places of commitment. Now, I want you to ponder that thought for just a second. God is calling us back to places of commitment. Maybe you need to go back and visit your Bethel. You see, when you go back and visit it, all of a sudden this flood of memories come back to you. All of a sudden you will remember the commitments that you made before. You might remember the times that you really did a good job in keeping the commitments to the Lord, that you were walking with him better than you are today, that you were talking with him better than you are today. And when he delivered, not only as the word said he would, but he did so in such a fashion that it was far greater than even something that you could think of or imagine. You know, it's interesting that when we go back to those places, that the same principle holds true. Like when you go back to your childhood home, you know, I can still think back and drive back through Bell Point in my hometown. And there's this little league field out there that I used to play ball on. And man, every time I drive past that place, I can still remember the great games that we had a chance to play. And that was decades and decades and decades ago. But every time that I drive through there, it just brings a smile to my face and it reminds me of those really good days. And God is calling each and every one of us back to those places where maybe those commitments were made, to remember what he's done in our lives and how faithful that he really, really is to each and every one of us. So when we consider the return to Bethel, and as we can consider essentially our good old brother Jacob, think about it for a minute. You know, first of all, this is a call to Jacob to go back to Bethel. That's what our scripture's saying. And that's the first thing that's happened. That may be the thing that's going on in your life right now, is that God is calling you back to that place, the place that he got your attention before, a place that's going to bring the memories of the reason why you made the commitments that you made. And then second, there's the conviction that caused Jacob to go back to Bethel. It's very interesting when we look at this. Look with me again, if you would, at our text in verse 2. That's Genesis chapter 35 and verse 2. Now notice what's going on. Remember, God's called him back to Bethel, but here's what verse 2 says. It says, and Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourself and change your garments. Now, it's interesting when he said that, he says, put away the foreign gods that are among you. That's with a little g. That means the gods that aren't the Almighty. That means the gods that they had strayed from the Almighty God over to these gods that aren't really gods. In other words, they hadn't been doing what they were supposed to be doing either. And Jacob is bringing about to his family the conviction that God has brought upon him. See, conviction in this case brought action. When his heart was convicted and he wasn't where he was supposed to be, it's interesting what he said. He said, put away the strange gods. You know, we need to stop with that, because back in the beginning, and it's funny how we remember the things of God when we actually stop and concentrate on the things of God. In fact, the first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's plain and simple. And then all of a sudden, when Jacob is under conviction, he looks around and he sees a first commandment violation. And he's saying to his family, you need to put away the strange gods. By the way, that conviction wasn't just to him. He was taking his family along with him. He's saying, be clean. He's saying, change your garments. In other words, there was some action that was brought forth. It's not good enough, folks, when the Holy Spirit convicts your heart to sit back and agree with him and go, yep, you're right. Yep, I've messed up. Yep, I'm in a foreign land. Yep, I'm not doing what I should do. When you see that, those are things that conviction should bring about some action and some change in your life to head back in the direction of God. We've been talking about this for weeks as well, and one of the things that's called is repentance. Turning around, going 180 degrees back in the other way. So where are you when it comes down to that? Has God said to you, you need to go back to Bethel? He's put that conviction on your heart, and you even agree with him. You're like, but you never change your way. It didn't bring any action. You just keep on doing the same old wrong thing, even though you know it's wrong because God has convicted you of that. You know, there are strange things in the lives of believers. Yeah, it's so interesting when you think about it. We're all kind of strange people when it comes down to it. We have strange plans. We have strange attitudes. We have strange words. And oftentimes, we even have strange goals, don't we? So the question is this. Are you convicted about the strange things in your life? The things that are not of God? The things that are peculiar to him? You know, that the conviction brought about action. So today, if you're listening to this Bible study, and if the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart, what is the action going to be? One of the things I love about the two girls that I have in Awana Journey here at the church, and one of the things I love about the lesson with them is simply this. It's they learn a concept throughout the week, but one of the questions is simply this, and I think it's a great question that you and I should ask ourselves, you know, particularly as we seek God. And that question is this. Over what you've learned over this past week, how are you going to apply it in your life? Yeah, what is the application of the spiritual truths that you have learned? So today I'm asking you that if God has convicted you about the fact that you are wayward from him, all the evidence is there. You're being honest with yourself today. You're being honest with the Holy Spirit. And God is calling you back to Bethel. He's calling you back to that place, the place of commitment, the places that he got your attention before. Yeah, and so you know this. Now the question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you just going to keep going down that rough road? Are you still going to keep going down the wayward road? Or are you going to cry out to God and run to him, to wrap your arms around him? Man, that's a great, great thing. You see, the third thing that we see in this text today is that the consecration of Jacob's heart as he returned to Bethel. That was really, really good. I love what he said. He said, let us arise and go. I believe that's verse 3 of our text, Genesis 35:3. It says this, let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone. Man, I love that so much. Let us go. Let us arise and go. Now, remember what we were talking about a minute ago about the conviction leading to some action? Well, what action are you going to take in your heart? In this particular passage about Jacob, the action was he was convicted about it and he said, let us go. Now, this is what I really like about this particular passage. I have said before, and I have a whole bunch of favorite passages in the Bible, but the prodigal son is actually one of my top favorites. But yet what we see here, I would consider to be even better than the resolution of the prodigal son. And I'll tell you why. You know, most of us know that story. We've heard that 1,000 times, that the prodigal was off in this wayward land. He had squandered his inheritance, and he came to himself. I love the word says, and when he came to himself, he realized that he was in a pig pen, eating slop with the hogs, and he began to think about his father's house. He began to think about how good he had it as the son of this father. He began to think about how, you know, he wouldn't be eating pig slop. He would be having the finest around the table. And he remembered how good his dad was. And in doing so, remember what he said that he would do. He began to rehearse what he was going to say to his dad. He says, you know, he says, I will get up and I will return. And he said this. He said, I will say, you know, Father, I have sinned against you and against the Lord. Yeah, he's rehearsing this over and over in his head. Now, here's the one thing. Here's the reason I say that I like Jacob's heart a little bit better in this. And here's why. Because when you think about the prodigal son, he said, I will arise and go. That is personal. That is singular. In other words, the only person there was him, as far as we know. But it was a personal, singular thing. But yet, in Jacob's situation, he makes it plural. He says, let us arise and go. This is public. This is something for all to see. It's not just him saying, I'm going to get my act together. It was also him saying, I'm going to take my family with me. We've gone the wrong way, and I am going to lead them in the path of a return to God. So let us arise and go. Go where? Go back to Bethel, the place where I met God, the place where God spoke so poignantly and so loudly and so personally to me, the place where I really felt that I was the closest to God my whole life. Every one of us, as I mentioned before, has a Bethel. What is that place to you? For some of us, it may be a symbolic Bethel. For some of us, it might actually be a physical place that you have gone and you remember, hey, this is right at this particular juncture is where I got some business done with God. You know, it's really interesting that in my life, one of those places that's so interesting to see is the little prayer chapel on the campus of Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia, where I did my undergraduate work. And man, I can still remember some times where I wrestled with God like Jacob did. And I can remember, you know, the times of the wee hours of the morning and going to that little chapel and hitting my knees and crying out to God. And folks, that little chapel is a Bethel to me because God met me there. God solved some issues. And every time I go back there on the campus, I'll look over at that little chapel and it will carry me to those times when God meant so much to me in showing up in my life. There's times when I walk in it and I can remember it. And a lot of us would sit back and say, man, it even smells the same way that it did 40 years ago. I know what you're talking about. And those are the things that will trigger us to remember those good things. Even though the campus has changed completely around that little chapel, that little chapel was still the same. And it holds a very, very special place in my heart because that was where I went and did some business with God. And when God showed up in a pretty incredible way, man, it's so good to just go back and walk through that and to remember what he was doing at that particular moment. So you know what? Maybe today you find yourself wayward from God. He is telling you, hey, I'm calling you home. You know, what are you going to say? Will you say, let us arise and go like Jacob did? You know, it's not just singular. Well, listen, God may be just dealing with you, and that's perfectly fine. It may have been one-on-one like the prodigal son, but yet maybe you have led somebody else astray with you. Then it needs to become, let us arise and go. You see, consecration made Jacob worship. What did it say that he did? It says when he gets there, he's going to build an altar. An altar was built to be able to sacrifice and to be able to worship God. You have to remember that Christ hadn't been born yet in that regard. So, you know, communication at that particular point was with God. And he worshiped God. And to do so, that was back in the day that animal sacrifices had to be given because that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So the animal sacrifices had to take place. I love the fact that in the age of grace, after the crucifixion and the resurrection. We don't have to do that. Jesus was the perfect once for one and all sacrifice, and I love that. We don't have to keep on going back with some sort of a sacrifice that can't cut the bill, because Jesus paid it all. For every sin, past, present, and future, he took those to the cross. He took them through the grave, and when he resurrected, he buried all those. He has paid the price for you and I. So consecration made Jacob worship. What is it doing in your life? What is the situation in your life as God is calling you back to Bethel? He's calling you back to your Bethel to worship. Are you worshiping him? Are you praying to him? Are you crying out to him? Are you sincerely and desperately seeking him? Because I will make you a promise that if you're seeking him, you'll find him. And some would say, well, Pastor, how do you know that? You know, I can make that promise because the promise is in the Word. It says, those who seek will find. If you knock, it will be open unto you. But the question is, how far are you from your Bethel? Do you need to come back? You see, consecration was also what made Jacob faithful. You know, he said that God had answered his prayers. Can you say that in your heart? Now, I want you to be careful when you answer that question, and I'm going to tell you why. If I were to ask you, has God answered your prayers? There have been times that people have said to me, well, no, God didn't answer my prayer. Now, I want us to be careful because there are times when we think God didn't answer our prayer that God did answer our prayer, because what we have to understand is that God does not always say yes. Yeah, God doesn't always say no. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says maybe, and sometimes he says wait. It depends on what the timing is, okay? So as you answer this question to yourself, I ask the question, has God answered your prayers? Jacob said that God had answered his prayers. Another thing we have to be careful about is when we begin to answer that question is, there are times that people have said, well, you know, God didn't answer my prayer my way. That didn't mean he didn't answer your prayer. It just meant he didn't answer it the way you thought that he should or that you wanted him to. And folks, let me make you once again a promise. God knows what's best for your life, and whatever he's doing, he is trying to draw us close to him. And I love what Jacob said, though. Jacob said, God has answered my prayers. Can you say that? Yeah, can you remember when God has been with you? See, Jacob was remembering when God had been with him, that first trip, when the name of that place became Bethel. Can you remember when God has been with you? You know, most of us can think about it in regard to that particular place, the Bethel of our lives. And sometimes we need to go back to that metaphorically, and sometimes it's really good to go back to that place physically. Just like my little walk through that prayer chapel means so much to me. But you see, I can sit here and reminisce about that prayer chapel because I've got it right here. There are a lot of times I go back to that little prayer chapel on the campus of Liberty University in my heart and in my mind, because it reminds me of the great and wonderful things that God has done. It reminds me how he's answered my prayers. It reminds me how he's taken care of me. It reminds me of how he has been with me. You know, Jacob remembered God had been with him. I remember God has been with me in those special places. Listen, God has been with you as well. And if you can't seem to find him now, I want to encourage you to go back to your Bethel, whether in your mind, metaphorically, or whether to go back there physically and remember what it was that you did when you were walking closer with God, when you were walking hand in hand with him, when your relationship was better than it had ever been. Because I will make you the promise that if you go looking for him again, you'll find him, because the Word tells us that. Okay? So think about the impact of Jacob's return to Bethel. You know, and if you come back to your Bethel, think about the impact that that's going to have. Think about the impact that the return to Bethel had on Jacob's family. You know, they gave up their gods with a little g and their gold for something that was even more important. What is it that your family needs? What would the impact of you returning to Bethel have on your family? Okay, what about on the community? What about those that were around you? You know, as far as the community, it's very interesting that what we learn about Jacob is that his enemies feared him. Yeah, did you notice what I said? His enemies feared him. All right? Yeah, when you walk with the Lord, I will make you a promise that your enemies will fear you as well. Yeah, God is calling you back to your Bethel. I can't get that point across any more clear today in these moments than right now. If you are wayward, God is calling you back to your Bethel. How will you respond to Him? Yeah, the responding is going to impact others as well as you for the kingdom of God. It's time to go back to Bethel. Yeah, I hope and pray that today, if you have been one who has wandered away, that this message has not only given you a little bit of conviction, but yet it's also given you some hope, because Bethel is still there. God is still there. He still wants to have that relationship with you, and He wants you to come home. Will you return to Bethel? I'm going to pray that the Lord would give you the strength and the courage and the encouragement to do just that. But I want to tell you what it is that we're going to be studying this particular week in our Bible study. I try to give you a little something to look at each week. This week, I want to encourage you to read Joshua chapter 14. Once again, that's the book of Joshua chapter 14. And next week, we will discuss being kept alive for life's greatest adventure. And the passages are going to be Joshua chapter 14, verses 10 through 15. And I trust and pray that you will join us, okay? Let me have a word of prayer with you as we close our time of Bible study together today. Father, you're good to us, and we thank you so much. We thank you, Father, that you've never left us nor forsaken us. And Lord, I pray that for all of those that are listening that have wandered away from their Bethel, the place of God, the place of commitment, the place of dedication, the place of communion with you, Lord, we know that you are calling them back. I pray that you will give them the grace and the strength and the faith to get up, you know, that it would move them to action just like it did with Jacob, and that they would begin to close that distance in their return to you. And Lord, just like the prodigal son, we know that you will be waiting for us. Not only will you be waiting for us, you will run to meet us with arms stretched out. Lord, with the finest coat, with the finest ring, and Lord, the fatted calf to celebrate the son or daughter that was lost that is now found. Lord, help us to return to Bethel. Help us, Father, to hear your word today and act upon it, and not just sit idly by when we agree with what the conviction of the Holy Spirit has stated in our life. Lord, I pray that you will give them courage to do that you will give them joy, and that their life would once again be filled with the joy of the Lord that truly is our strength. So, Father, go with us as we go away from this time together, and we ask that you would bring us back again at an appointed time to study your word, as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks. I want to thank you for stopping by and joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I want to invite you to come and be a part of our worship services this coming Sunday morning. This coming Sunday is a special day at Central Baptist Church. It is our homecoming, where we celebrate the anniversary of the founding of Central Baptist Church. We're going to have a message. We'll have a meal that will follow that. And we would certainly love to have you come and be a part. First of all, worship with us in spirit and in truth, and then gather around the table for a good old meal. Our services begin at 10:45 a.m. And hey, listen, when you get here, find me. Introduce yourself. I would love to have that opportunity to meet you. If you don't know how to find us, you can check our website, which is www.oakridgecbc.org, and it will give you directions, or you can call us. But at any rate, if you're familiar with the area, we are right across Highway 68 from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. We want to see you on Sunday as we not only celebrate our Lord, but we celebrate the homecoming of Central Baptist Church. God bless you. I pray you have a great and wonderful week.